Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for October the 1st in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the Founding Fathers, one of the great peaceful restoration solutions we have at our fingertips today. We reject revolution, stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Liberty Roundtable Live. You want to donate and get involved? LibertyRoundtable.com gets it done. A quick recap of Saturday's broadcast. I had our guest on, our buddy Kelly Knighting. He's a sumo wrestler. He's a critical thinker, and he creates a website called insurrection.us. I don't think the website name is perfect, but he brings up a lot of good commentary there. And his whole point is that George Washington's farewell address spoke in condemnation of what George Washington called the spirit of party. What is the spirit of party? Why is it destroying America? And then he focuses on his view of the solution. Hey, let's just reject, let's get rid of the spirit of party in America. And I agree with his points completely. His solution, I slightly disagree on. And we broke that down as a two-hour bonanza broadcast, if you will. And we talked about Donald Trump authorized an investigation into Kavanaugh. What a shame on Donald. The Senate Judiciary Committee moves forward. But Flake and Trump put wrench in nomination. We'll break that down later in the broadcast. Flake made it very clear that the delay for an FBI investigation would be required if he were to vote yes. So they put a one-week scenario in there. It's unconstitutional. It's all get out. We talked about this idea from Michael Savage, where he's talking about this Ford CIA connection. Well, be very careful. It might be Russian propaganda. Time will tell on that, but we'll keep an eye on the ball. Hour two, Liberty Roundtable Live. It was a continuation of the Kelly Knighting interview about the abolition of parties and how evil parties are. Kelly Knighting says, do you support candidates selected by political parties? We talked about an article that Chuck Baldwin wrote called The Spirit of Party, telling you how evil parties really are. We also talked about Pat Buchanan's claim there are not two parties. There are not two political parties in Washington. There's just two wings of the single or same bird of prey. He's right about that. We talked about Republican shills will accept practically any evil committed by the Republicans under the rubric of the lesser of two evils mantra, and so will the Democrats. Yeah, Democrat apologists will do the same for their fellow Democrats. They deceive you into this partisan politics, folks, and pretty soon the party, like a forced union, develops its own insider rules and favoritism before government at the expense of the rest of us. So Kelly Knighting wrote what he calls the People's Ambition Resolution, which means he basically says, hey, you know what, don't vote. So he gives three reasons to vacate the election booth. Now, I understand his point about getting rid of parties, and I agree 1,000%. But when Kelly Knighting says that we shouldn't vote as a result, three reasons to vacate the election booth, I take issue with that point. Because I believe, yeah, the system's corrupt. Yeah, parties are a problem. I agree with every point made. But I say that, you know what? Getting rid of our right to vote is what they want us to do. The Founding Fathers realized our right to vote was sacred. Must we do more than that for the defense of liberty? Absolutely. But let's not be conned into just basically jettisoning the system. Because if we don't use the system to restore our liberties, what choice do we have then? Go outside of the system? Turn peaceful restoration into revolution? I don't think so. So Sam doubles down in defense of the sacred duty and responsibility to vote based on principle. And I'm going to stand on that. So we had a great interview. Kelly Knighting's got a lot of great points, and he's a critical thinker, no doubt. We slightly disagree, though, because I think it's imperative that we vote. That's just my humble opinion for whatever that's worth. All right, thanks. That's the recap of Saturday's broadcast, still available online at libertyroundtable.com. Without further ado, news that Etrich refused to use today starts now. Lowell Nelson with us, campaignforliberty.org and ronpaulinstitute.org. Welcome to the broadcast, Lowell.
Thank you, Sam and Kurt. It's good to be with you.
Quickly, what do you think, though? I understand Kelly Knighty's point about the jettisoning of parties. The founders warned us how evil parties would become, and we're seeing it on pure evil display right now. But his conclusion not to vote, I don't think, is the answer.
Well, I happen to agree with you, Sam. Every time we leave the battlefield, then we don't have an influence on the outcome of that battle. And while I agree that the spirit of party ought to be decried, just as George Washington did, and obviously the corruption within the parties, both parties, is huge. It's just monstrous. And we've talked about that many, many times before on the show, of that corruption, the swamp that's in each party. It's swampy because good people aren't involved. That's one of the big problems. And so I want good people to be involved in whatever party they choose, whose ideals most closely aligns with theirs.
And see, I look at it and say, I reject the party altogether, and I'll support whatever candidate I believe deserve my support based on their own individual character, their voting records, their my experience with them, their longevity in the sacred cause of liberty. I will vote for individuals, and I don't care if they're in a party or out of a party or what party they're from. Every time I'll vote my conscience based on principle, sir.
Right, and that's what I do in the general election, Sam, but in the primary elections, I do my best to make sure that the party of which I'm a member has the best possible liberty-leaning, constitution-adherent candidate possible. So that's why I'm involved in a party, simply to try to keep the progressives out, you know, those who would destroy our constitution, keep them from winning the primary and being the party's nominee, and instead supporting constitution-loving candidates within that party who will, in turn, be good candidates in the general.
And I think at every level we need to stand with the Constitution. We always need to be very careful to avoid this temptation to vote for the lesser of two evils, though.
Right, right.
And that's an epic battle, and a lot of people get caught in that snare, and we need to be very careful. Anyway, I don't want to spend too much time on that point, but I did want to give a little bit of chance for a response to that interview with Kelly Knighty. All right, Kavanaugh, the disgust circuit, and its limitations, Lowell.
This is an interesting article, Sam, posted on LouRockwell.com last week amidst the many, many stories about Brett Kavanaugh's nomination and confirmation hearings back in the U.S. Senate. The airwaves are awash in stories about him, but this one caught my eye because he brought up something which I hadn't even been thinking about, called the disgust circuit. Basically, it's a human emotion within each one of us where, we might get so disgusted at something that we then reject it, right? And so, you know, Kavanaugh is simply the latest victim of many, many other victims. And, you know, Roy Moore, I think, Roy Moore was, there's an accuser came forward and accused Roy Moore of impropriety 20, 30 years ago, and that's basically how he was defeated. They triggered the disgust circuit in enough voters in Alabama that they did not vote for him for the U.S. Senate, and I think that was a travesty. Roy Moore is an upstanding guy, wonderful judge. He fears and respects God, and there should have been no reason why he shouldn't have won that election. But they got him, and now they're doing the very same thing to Kavanaugh. They're bringing up an allegation, may or may not have any grounds, any justification, any evidence in support of the accusation. They merely bring forward the accusation called a smear and destroy campaign, basically. And they say things which triggers the disgust within people so much that they refuse to vote for him. I mean, that's their technique. Well, it turns out that that technique doesn't always work. In fact, it even provoked Lindsey Graham to speak up against this smear and destroy approach that was being employed on Kavanaugh. And then, so this fellow who wrote this column, his last name is Luongo, he ends his column in these words, Sam. He says, the discussed circuit can kick in a number of different ways. And Thursday, he says, it kicked in to finally call out what was actually happening on Capitol Hill. This was the swamp in all its glory. And believe me, he says, millions were outraged by what they saw. It will destroy what's left of the Democratic Party. The midterms will be a red tide with the bodies washing up on the shore. The leadership of the DNC and the carpetbaggers standing behind them with billions in money to buy fake opposition. He says, finally, the truth is easy to support. Lies cost money. The more outrageous the lies, the more expensive it gets to maintain it. End of quote. Now, yeah, so what he's saying is that you have to put information out there that's more and more disgusting every year. So in the 1980s, when Gary Hart was the victim of an accusation, you know, it was just a mere, you know, suggestion that he, you know, had an affair with a woman or something like that, right? And now you look at the accusations and they, you know, that's not sufficient to trigger the disgust circuit in anybody, unfortunately, because, well, it does in you and me, I guess, but doesn't win everybody. And so they have to come up with new accusations which will trigger the disgust in people who hear it.
And what's interesting is they know if they go too far with the disgust circuit, it backfires. So they started out very softly with Kavanaugh, had a girl saying, oh, he touched her. Then it got a little more radical. Hey, you know what? He hung his body out in front of her. And then next, gang rapes. But they went too far. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org in seconds.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Brett Kavanaugh with Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, about the disgust circuit. The disgust circuit, ladies and gentlemen, is the limit in which behaviors trigger our gut outrage, and we're just simply full of disgust. This technique works because it triggers in most people something we can call the disgust circuit. Basically, it is, hey, if I make you disgusted enough, you won't think about things logically and what's happening. You'll just simply act based on your emotion, and that's what they've done. But they went too far this time. And they literally said, hey, you know what? Brett Kavanaugh touched me over my clothes. It was not very good. That didn't really work. He was about to still get nominated. And then they said, well, wait a minute. You know what? He hung his genitals out in front of my face, upping the ante. And then they went and had a third girl say, you know what? He was involved in gang rapes. Wow. at parties. And so then they went a little too far there, folks. And now the disgust circuit's starting to happen where it backfires, where you say, you know what? These Republicans are, or these Democrats are disgusting. They've gone way too far. And this just can't be. The lack of witnesses, the lack of evidence, and they make these outrageous claims, and they literally shut down the whole process on Capitol Hill over this. And so people are outraged, but they still gained ground and got an FBI investigation. Donald Trump caved. Jeff Flake flaked out on us. Okay, so we still got that going on. Time will tell where it all leads. Nevertheless, the disgust circuit's real, folks, and they play it like a fiddle, lol.
That's right, Sam. As one other comment that he made, as liberals, he says, as liberals and cultural Marxists break down the societal order, as they win skirmish after skirmish in the culture war and desensitize us to normalize ever more deviant behavior, then the circumstances of a smear and destroy accusation have to rise accordingly. He says it's behavioral heroin. The more tolerance we build up to it, the more likely people are to see right through the lie. Just as you said, Sam, and that's what happened in this case. They turned it up so high, they amped it up way beyond believability to the point where everybody is seeing through that thinly veiled attempt to lie about Brett Kavanaugh.
All right, time will tell where it goes, ladies and gentlemen. Will they win on that alternate? Depends. The media, he who owns the media makes the rules, as I always like to say. It all depends on how they spin it, because they don't tell you that all these witnesses they're bringing forward have literally zero credibility. When they really do, there's no evidence. There's no witnesses. People are literally saying, who are attorneys all over the country and law enforcement personnel, two things. One, it would never make it in a court of law, ever. Because there's no evidence. There's just no witnesses. There's nothing to go on. Secondarily, the Maryland police are saying, look, these women haven't even filed their claims in the local municipality where there's jurisdiction. They haven't done that. Why? And the Maryland police are saying, you know what? We're not investigating. There's nothing for us to investigate. And the state, the governor there, and the federal government are saying, investigate, investigate, investigate. But they're saying, investigate what? The victim hasn't even filed a complaint. There's nothing to investigate. And this is very, very, very strange. And that's why, you know what? I'm not for dismissing any claims. I think people should be heard. But they need to be heard, as Kellyanne Conway wisely pointed out, in the municipality where there's jurisdiction. And if you want to be heard, you need to file a complaint, which they haven't done. Now, Kellyanne Conway finishes up by saying, by revealing she's a victim of assault, too. So she's not taking this lightly. She identifies with the problems. But when you just complain like this but don't file a legitimate, formal, law-abiding, jurisdictional request to have this looked into, and you're surprised when it doesn't go well? Wow. This is a serious, serious problem. But Trump agrees to the FBI probe of Kavanaugh, bows to the Flake and the Democrats. Why? Trump says Kavanaugh FBI investigation could be blessing in disguise for the Republicans. And Kellyanne Conway defends Kavanaugh and reveals she's a victim of assault, lol. Just kind of a couple of headlines relating to this.
That's right, that's right. And it turns out that Judge Kavanaugh has already been investigated four times by the FBI in the course of his professional career. That happens every time you get an appointment, right, as he gets one judgeship after another. And he also worked for the White House in the Bush administration. So the guy has been shaken down at least four times officially by the FBI, and yet these Flakes want to put him through another investigation. Actually, it's a delay tactic, a stall tactic, so that they can try to put it off his vote until after the midterm elections. But it's just amazing to me, Sam, that almost every gentleman in that room probably has probably done, you know, worse than what Kavanaugh is being accused of, and yet they're in this glass house throwing the stones at the Trump's nominee. It's just rather sickening.
It is. Now, there's a guy by the name of Chad Ludington, and he puts a statement on Kavanaugh's drinking and says, hey, you know what? Kavanaugh wasn't honest before the committee. Kavanaugh lied. Kavanaugh was a heavy drinker. I know. I drank with him. He'd slur his words and be drunk as a skunk quite often. And he said, I wasn't going to say anything because I didn't feel like I had anything to say about the Supreme Court. But you know what? Now that he lied on the stand, I've got to speak up, says Chad. My problem with that is I'm for the truth. But I'm also not for the truth when we use it to manipulate reality. In other words, you know what? Just because he was a drinker when he was a teenager and maybe he got drunker than he should. Now, I'm not defending that at all. What I'm saying, though, is that doesn't at all make the other allegations true. And it doesn't all just because Kavanaugh minimized that reality. What do you expect him to do? If he says, oh, yeah, I was drunk beyond the ability and I slurred my words and sometimes I was drunk to the point where I black out. Then they'll come back and say, well, how did you know you didn't rape everybody then? So the problem is that, you know, when do you have the right to defend yourself and when do you have the right to not admit to every detail because the past will haunt you and it'll be taken to the extreme. That's where this process comes into place, too, because if you admit to anything, then really pretty soon you have a hole a truck can drive through kind of a thing. And so we don't have in America, and this is what I referred to a long time ago in this case, we don't have in America this idea of repentance and forgiveness. We don't accept those principles. And as a result, it's a disaster to admit anything. What he should be able to do is say, you know what, you're right, I drank too much. I shouldn't have. It was wrong. But you know what, I did not rape these girls. And if they have evidence, bring it forward. If they have witnesses, bring them forward. And so far, they have none. I bet you, though, with this FBI investigation, that changes, though. There will be something that will come up. There will be some way to where this thing will be derailed. That's my opinion, my guess. I hope I'm wrong. But in America, we don't have repentance or forgiveness, which is what we really need. Otherwise, nobody will pass muster, lol.
Well, it's very hypocritical for the Dems in this case to accuse and support witnesses against Kavanaugh when there were numerous women who came forward during the Bill Clinton era who had hard evidence of assault by Bill Clinton, and these same Democrats who are decrying the alleged assault on Dr. Ford, they wouldn't lift a finger to help any of the women who were assaulted by Bill Clinton. And in other words, it's plain to me and plain to millions of other people, Sam, that this is opportunistic behavior on the part of the Democrats simply to stop the confirmation of a justice that they see might overturn, a precedent like Roe v. Wade or, somehow lessen the right of a woman to kill an unborn child within herself or something. You know, I mean, these are the fears that they have, but yet it's so hypocritical.
You're right about that. And what really comes to mind for me on this whole thing is these principles of repentance and forgiveness, which I think are key, because otherwise nobody will serve in office. I mean, they'll pretty much say, well, lol, you were in the same room with other people drinking alcohol at one point in your life. Therefore, how do we know you didn't drink? And you just have no way to ever overcome this idea that nobody can change. Nobody can repent. Nobody can receive forgiveness for their mistakes. Nobody has any mistakes. Okay, it's this bar that's set so high in this double standard that we'll never live through. But it reminds me of Ten Commandments 101. You know what? Thou shalt not bear false witness. And I mean, that's what I see here today, because again, there is no evidence. And without witnesses, I'm just not so sure it's a claim that we should be entertaining at all.
Well, and people don't believe much in the Ten Commandments anymore, unfortunately, particularly the politicians I'm speaking of. Most politicians have no respect for, God or his commandments, so they're breaking his laws right and left or with impunity. They lie, and they do it almost every day. And they're hypocritical and they're opportunistic. They just don't realize what a huge mistake that is, Sam, because God expects us to be honest. He expects us to tell the truth and to have integrity. That's what he wants for his children. And I like very much, Sam, by the way, the fact that you're focusing on this principle of repentance. It is a real principle. God atoned for the sins of all men who, if they would simply repent and call upon him, then they too could be forgiven of these sins. But when the world out there believes that you cannot repent, they are taking away an essential part of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. We are a Christian nation. Let's start to act like it's my plea. That is the only solution if we want to restore the republic and the traditions of our founders. That's what it's going to take to keep the republic, folks. Quick pause. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
Lowell Nelson, riding shotgun today, campaignforliberty.org, doing a phenomenal job. All right, anything else on this Kavanaugh thing before we move along, Lowell?
No, thank you. I think we're good to move on.
All right. Just know, ladies and gentlemen, it's a sham, and the disgust circuit in Americans are real. Just pay attention. If that disgust is triggered, step back for a second and take out the emotions and say, hey, what's the reality? And one of the great techniques to really understand this is you don't go, what do I think I know? You go, what do I actually know? And I actually know right now, no matter what anybody says about Brett Kavanaugh, he's got a 35-year track record of being an incredible judge, despite that I don't agree with him on everything constitutionally, but at least from a purity or a clean judge standpoint, you know what? There's no debate about his, you know, sitting on this on courts for a long time. The other point to make is there are no witnesses, and there are no evidence, and there's not even a legitimate filing of a problem or a criminal act or a redress of grievance, or there's not even an assertion in the proper venues for this stuff. If that doesn't tell you enough from what you know. So always go back to what do we know for sure? And then the truth becomes easy to support. Lies cost money, and the more they lie, the more expensive it gets. Remember that, folks. All right. Two reasons to call the United States Senate low. We got to get into this. This is critical.
First reason, Sam, is H.R. 6729. For those of you taking notes, write down H.R. 6729, because that's a bill that passed the House that it purports to fight human trafficking. That's basically the banner, the headline of the bill, but it actually expands warrantless surveillance and data collection power. It's going to go to the Senate very soon. It might follow the Kavanaugh vote, probably won't precede it. But anyway, the Department of the Treasury has decided that it can, without warrant or other legal process, force companies to search their records for information on their customers' accounts and transactions. And so they have helped to write H.R. 6729, and basically it copies language from Section 314 of the Patriot Act, but it applies that language to a whole new category of information. It broadens the range of customers' personal information that the government may unilaterally demand without probable cause or warrant. In other words, Sam, this is a further erosion of the Fourth Amendment right to be secure in our persons, papers, and effects. And so people might ask themselves, well, how might this affect me? Well, let me just answer that. If a nonprofit shares an accusation with financial institutions through the process created under H.R. 6729, then banks may choose to close that person's account without process or explanation, effectively blocking the individual from the financial system. So that is a huge danger, folks, if you have maybe an account with a bank or a credit union or something like that, and somebody complains about your activity to that institution, this provision of H.R. 6729 would give them legal immunity for shutting you down, just freezing your assets, not allowing you to access the money that you have in that institution. And so I view this as a huge blow to the Fourth Amendment, an additional blow to it, and it's just very dangerous because anybody who has their money in financial institution like that that answers to the federal government then you'd be jeopardizing your assets that were held by that banking institution, Sam.
This issue is critical, ladies and gentlemen, because this is a very, very serious violation of our rights. All right, H.R. 6729, you know, what's fascinating to me is this just proves where government just always runs off the rails. At first, you get tempted into trading your security for liberty, and the founders warn you wind up with neither. And what happens is at first you go, well, golly, I'm so incensed about the murders that took place on 9/11. Never mind that we never got the real perpetrators or anything. They trigger this disgust circuit to say, you know what? It's so disgusting. All these people died around you innocently. You've now got to trade your liberty for security. And that's where the failure happens. And now Congress has taken this general idea that most people would go for, even though they shouldn't, and say, look, let's expand it. And it started with a George Bush expansion lie. Well, we're not really spying on any of you guys. We're just spying on the criminals overseas. And in wartime, kind of a war mentality. You know what? The War Powers Act requires that we dig into this. These people don't deserve due process. They're criminals, and we got to treat them as enemy combatants. And, okay, it started there, which under that very narrow scope, you know, you might actually think makes a good idea. But the problem is they lie, and then George Bush got caught lying, then Congress codified it, and now Congress expands. Lol.
Well, and of course, when they declared war on terror, and when Bush said that this might be a generational, a war that never ends, it basically like the war on poverty and the war on drugs, now we have the war on terror. When he said that, then I knew the handwriting was on the wall, basically, that our right to privacy and to be secure in our person, papers, houses, and effects was basically a thing of the past. Because if they can declare war and that war goes on forever, and then they exercise this war power, the war power which they gave themselves, which is to be able to search your data, your information, then they essentially have a tyranny, a digital tyranny over you and me, and that's something that's not good. That's not what we. That's not what the framers and the founders and the fathers of our country wanted for us, their children.
And H.R. 6729 already passed the House. It's headed to the Senate. Hopefully the Senate can stop this expanded abuse. And it's all happening under the most Republican Congress we've ever had, right?
That's right, Sam, and with a Republican in the White House. So when you call your senator, please demand his opposition to H.R. 6729. And then right along with that, be sure and mention Senate Bill 16, which is the audit the Fed bill. We've mentioned that here before on this program. That still has not been scheduled for a vote. So when you call, ask your senator, has a vote on Senate Bill 16 been scheduled? And if not, of course, I'll answer no, it hasn't. Then what are you doing, Senator, to get a vote on that bill scheduled? Because without us, melting the phone line to these yahoos back there in Washington, D.C., they are not really incentivized to do anything. They won't lift a finger to help you because they don't really have an interest in you, the citizen. They have an interest in maintaining their seat of power and in expanding their influence over the peons, you and me. That's their real interest. And until we make it very uncomfortable for them, they will not lift a finger to help you and me. So,
all right. We need to also make sure that we help audit the Fed. S-16 of the Senate, ladies and gentlemen. Call your congressmen and senators and say, you know what? We got to get out the Fed on the table. You're calling your congressman to push and get support and coverage for this. You're calling your senator because that's where we need to make sure that they vote in the affirmative to get this done. We got to do this. Mitch McConnell needs to be pressured big time, folks. Lol, we're running out of time.
That's right. I think we can jump right to the war in Yemen, Sam.
Before we do, I got to give a quick shout out, though.
Okay.
What is it? Holodomor Memorial Day.
Holodomor Memorial Day.
Holodomor Memorial Day. We got to remember that abuse that took place back in the day, folks. Stalin was out of control in 1932 and 33, literally created a man-made famine. A lot of people died. A Holocaust of epic proportions. It could happen again. That's why we got to bring it up to make sure it's never repeated, Lol.
Well, and I think it's important to bring that up again because we're going to be talking about the war in Yemen. I mean, there's a genocide happening right now, today. In Yemen.
Oh, so when I say it could happen again and we don't want to repeat it, you're saying it's happening again? Oh, wow.
Exactly,
yeah.
Sam, yeah. Since 2015, of course, when the Saudis began bombing Yemen in 2015, and ever since then, on average, how many is it down here somewhere? Something like several thousand a day. Okay, people dying in Yemen. It is a genocide, folks. And so Holodomor recognizes the genocide of the ethnic Ukrainians in 1932 and 33, and we're recognizing that, and yet we are allowing the United States to continue to support the Saudi genocide of the Yemeni people. It's just so, I just don't understand this, Sam, and so, you know, if in any town hall meetings or any opportunity that we have to talk with our congressmen, we need to jump up and down on this and say, why are we bombing the Yemeni people? Why are we supporting Saudi Arabia in this genocide, Sam?
It's got to stop, ladies and gentlemen. What is the solution, you may ask? Lowell breaks it down in seconds. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. That means Solutions Radio at your fingertips.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay, abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Back with you live, Lowell Nelson, Campaign for Liberty.org on your radio. The Yemen war is evil, ladies and gentlemen. What are the solutions, Lowell? We talk about a lot of things in America, but we always want to tie it to solutions. That's what Liberty Roundtable Live is known for, sir.
Well, thank you, Sam. We need to stop refueling the Saudi planes. We need to stop selling munitions and warplanes to the Saudis. And I guarantee you, Sam, if we would stop selling them weapons, then they would stop killing the people of Yemen. It turns out that the Secretary, and the Wall Street Journal actually broke this news, Sam, but Secretary of State Pompeo was supposed to certify that the U.S. was and is doing everything it can to minimize civilian deaths, right? We all need to feel good about what we're doing there because we're minimizing civilian deaths, right? Well, it turns out that Pompeo continues to support the Saudi war in Yemen over the objections of his staff after being warned that, quote, a cutoff could jeopardize $2 billion in weapon sales to America's Gulf allies, end of quote. And so, in other words, if the U.S. were to stop refueling the Saudi planes, then the Saudis would not be likely to purchase $2 billion worth of munitions and supplies from the U.S. military industrial complex. Now, as Wolf Blitzer so famously said in his interview with Rand Paul, he says, that would represent a loss of jobs in America and a loss of a revenue stream. We can't have that, basically is what he was implying. And so the answer, Sam, is for us to simply stop selling weapons to the Saudis and stop supplying targeting information and stop refueling their bombers, their fighters. So that's the solution. We simply need to quit intervening. Now, that's really the solution, Sam. It's a travesty what's happening over there in Yemen. And
but not only is Yemen important, Lowell, but non-interventionism everywhere is the answer. Let's defend the greatest country on the face of the earth. And let's make sure that we stay out of the affairs of other nations. We don't want to be accused of breaching the sovereignty of other nations. I realize wickedness and evil happens. But at some point, we don't have to get in every skirmish and pick sides and fund and trade and arm the enemies. Because at some point, the bad guy's our friend. But the bad guy tomorrow, who was supposedly our friend after we armed them and trained them and funded them, becomes our enemy. And this idea of mutual destruction has got to stop. We got to be less than a warlike people. We got to be a peace-loving people. And we got to simply say, hey, if you want liberty, the best way for you guys to do it is to internally embrace the supreme law of the land that we've embraced. Here's a copy. And we'll set the example going forward, and y'all need to do the same. That's the best way we can help those people. Turn to God, people. That's the best way you're going to get the help and the protection you need. It's biblical. It's the standard. It's what made America free, and it can do it again, sir.
How would we feel if someone was bombing us right here in our community, Sam? I thought about this just yesterday, 2 days ago, as I was helping move a family from one home to another. And as I drove down the nice, beautiful street with a curb and gutter and sidewalks and trees, fruit trees, and homes, beautiful homes on each side of the street, I thought to myself, we are so secluded here. We do not know what it feels like to be bombed. That's a great blessing, Sam. I'm not quibbling with that. I think it is a great blessing that we have such peace and prosperity right here in our own communities. But what that does, it sort of insulates us from the real danger and the real destruction that is associated with a bombing campaign. And the people of Yemen have suffered under this for over 3 years, Sam.
And there's no end in sight is the point. Our prayers are that we can literally focus on the solution, ladies and gentlemen. That is non-interventionism. Before we run out of time, I got two more topics to discuss. You know, in America, we think we're free. And I think in many respects, we certainly are. But certainly not all. And it's getting worse. We're going in the wrong direction is the reason to bring it up. The question is, do we live in a digital dictatorship lull?
Well, Kurt Nimmo posted an article on the RonPaulInstitute.org website.
And by the way, that's the InfoWars author, right?
Yes. His article is entitled China's Digital Dictatorship and Ours. Well, this caught my eye because Daniel McAdams also discussed this very topic on the Ron Paul Liberty Report last week. And in China, basically the story is in China, which is nominally a communist state, but it's practicing crony capitalism and authoritarianism and so forth. It has set up a rating system for its citizens. They score their citizens based on their professional conduct, whether they're involved in illegal activity, the types of products that they purchase, whether they try to avoid taxes, and what they say in public, whether how critical they are of the regime there, right? And so they score you the citizen. And so in addition to scrutinizing their online activity and so forth, the system taps into China's network of surveillance cameras, which is estimated to be around 200 million of them now across the country of China. That's almost mind-boggling. Facial recognition identifies individuals and monitors their every move and in search of scoring, giving a low score to somebody. And, of course, those who get a high score, they'll be allowed to access credit facilities, cheaper public transportation, short wait times in hospitals and so forth. And those who, get a bad score, they will be banned from travel and from decent employment.
And via these huge government/backed private sector companies, it's almost fascism on steroids, they're literally setting that framework up for us right now, Lowell.
Right. Here it is. We think about China and think, wow, that's really bad over there. I'm glad not happening here, And we sing that song about freedom in America. Don't we know we're free, Well, it turns out that the NSA and the contractors working with the NSA have been collecting our most private and intimate information for years. We have travel bans, Sam. We have no-fly lists. And if your name is on the no-fly list, you can't travel on the plane. And I'm sure that'll branch out and spread to trains and other forms of transportation in the future. And here, China, we just got through criticizing China for disallowing people with a low score from using public transportation. Well, we have no-fly lists right here in the United States, Sam. And so you could even lose your position at a university.
We even have ban lists of Sam Bushman's audio or video can be on YouTube saying, hey, Sam might be a, quote, hater, all defined by the Southern Poverty Law Center and these big companies in bed with these liberal organizations that become the decision makers on this stuff, right? They determine fake news. They determine if you're a hater. And the government just simply goes along and codifies it.
Exactly right. Right, and our social media accounts, they get scoured by the NSA, the FBI, our intelligence agencies and so forth, for any sign of political misdeed. And just in the recent few weeks, Sam, as you've heard, that various individuals have been banned, their accounts have been closed or shut down or put on hold or whatever. Thereby, the state is able to monitor our behavior online in real time. We, our cell phones are tracking devices, and these big tech giants often collaborate with the state, and they hand over our data without a constitutionally mandated search warrant. And so, basically, we are looking in the mirror now, Sam, and that's what Kurt Nimmo is asking us to do, to look in the mirror and just see how eerily similar we are to what we just described and decried moments ago as being true of China. They want one world governance, folks, and in every country on the planet. And we here in the United States think we live in a free country, and yet we really live in a soft fascist dictatorship.
And the problem isn't so much that we have this status, because we can change. The problem is we're headed in the wrong direction. We're not even aware of it, and there's no real opposition being put up about it, right?
Right. Yeah, it's the wrong direction. And, you know, I had a good friend tell me one time he'd rather be 1 foot away from hell pointed in the direction of heaven than a foot away from heaven pointed in the direction of hell. And it's basically direction is important. If we're making progress towards liberty, then that's good. But if we're pointed in the direction of tyranny, that's bad, and we need to turn around, repent, change our direction, and get on a course for liberty if we want to enjoy the blessings of peace and prosperity for ourselves and our children and grandchildren.
Thank All right, you want to hear a funny story before the end of the hour?
You bet.
There's a guy in Texas. He's the Republican Precinct 2 representative on the Harris County Commission or whatever for Texas, okay? The guy's name is Jack Mormon. I kid you not.
No way.
The guy's name is Jack Mormon. Now, Mormon is spelled wrong. So for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints nickname Mormon, it's M-O-R-M-O-N. This guy's M-O-R-M-A-N. However, it's kind of comical. You got Jack Mormon running against all these guys, and it's making news headlines and stuff like that. Just a quick update so people understand what the term Jack Mormon means. Back in the early days, the 1800s, for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, a Jack Mormon was anybody who was kind to the Mormons, gentle with the Mormons, or kind of agreed to the Mormons on things, not religiously, but just, hey, that they're good people. And okay, anybody that was kind of soft and accepting of the Mormons was called a Jack Mormon back then. Now Jack Mormon is a completely flipped definition, somebody who is considered somebody who's a member of the church, or nicknamed the Mormon, who doesn't obey their religion, and so they don't, you know, they do drink alcohol or coffee, or they you know, don't agree with the religion's tenets, they're considered a Jack Mormon. So the definitions have changed, but it's funny, you got this guy in Texas, his name is Jack Mormon, and he's running for office. Just thought you'd find that a little fun.
That is a fun little story. He's got a Facebook page, Commissioner Jack Mormon. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
And he's a young fellow, you know, a Deer Park native, graduate of Deer Park High School. He looks like he just barely graduated from high school. He's probably a good kid. I don't know what his position is on anything.
I wonder what he thinks about the Mormons.
Yeah, we should ask him.
Anyway, I've had it funny. Kurt, you want to chime in on this one? Got Jack Mormon running for office, buddy.
Well, it is a you know, a little amusing and you know, a little fun. So that's good.
I thought so. You know, I hope he is in the old definition of a Jack Mormon. I hope whether he's Mormon or not, he's kind to us, and I hope we can reciprocate and be kind to him, and I hope we can all basically advocate for the sacred cause of liberty together, and I hope we can uphold the supreme law of the land together, and I hope we can find solutions together, and, you know, right, Lo?
That's right, Sam, and by the way, let me just put in a good word for Jack Mormon here. He is married. He graduated from law school in Waco, Texas. He had a private law practice until he was elected commissioner of Harris County Precinct 2 in November of 2010. And so he's been serving as commissioner for about 8 years down there, Sam. Looks like a pretty good guy.
Little older than we thought he was, too. Looks younger than he is, anyway.
Two children, a daughter Jordan and a son Trey, 11 and 9.
But you know what? Good for him. Anyway, hey, that's a Jack Mormon I kind of like. Just thought that was a little bit of fun levity. Bottom line, though, ladies and gentlemen, we got to understand the answer is to be followers of the Prince of Peace. The answer is to turn to Jesus Christ and realize we are a Christian nation. All right, we need to be very careful that we're a peace-loving people, not a warlike people. And the solution is non-interventionism. The solution is audit the Fed. And the solution is to reject these, quote, digital tyrannies we seem to find ourselves in. Lowell, thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome, gentlemen.
Godspeed. Hour one in the can, two coming up. Sam and Kurt in seconds. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.